a rebuttal of the prophecy of Werner Schrader on William Branham. The following message was preached by Brother Amos as part of a Scribe series titled The Place of Prophecy and Its Judgment between 21st and the 26th of June 2005 at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, Nigeria, and was represented in May 2022 in auditio from this message. This was done to further widen the availability of this sextet to those who were not had the opportunity to read the above-mentioned scribe, The Place of Prophecy, and Its Judgment. Saints of God, I greet every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you all, and build His church, and may His kingdom come. Today, by the grace of God, we will x-ray a very negative prophecy given by the late Anna Schrader concerning Brother William Marion Branham, all in the light of the Holy Scriptures. In defense of Brother Branham, we will title this message, A Rebuttal of the Prophecy of Anna Schrader on William Branham. Brothers and sisters, we will take our exit from a scribe the Lord has enabled us to produce, titled The Place of Prophecy and Its Judgment, wherein Part 4, we have sufficiently in part dealt with the issues to be addressed in this message, particularly the prophecy in question. And although we are taking this exit from that particular scribe referred to above, we will also be representing it to be able to do justice to this current scribe message. Brethren, when we consider the evil activities of men in Christendom, the Satan-inspired things that they project about William Branham, and the incredible lengths they go to just to demonize the ministry of the Elijah prophet of God to this Laodicean age, someone has to take a solid stand in defense of that humble and faithful servant of the Most High God. Therefore, the Lord helping us, we will take the bull by the horns and address the so-called prophecy of Werner Schrader, for we are on holy ground. I will tell you this, we will not run away from anyone on any part of this globe on issues of faith, as this is strictly Bible land, the terrain of the Holy Word of God, which is the terrain of the true bride of Jesus Christ, the Word Bride. May God help me to do justice to this message, for without Him, I can do absolutely nothing, as I am nothing. Brothers and sisters, we will begin this message by looking at a case where the same vessel gave to contradicting prophetic revelations, and in zeroing in on this particular case, I will be coming closer to home, because I am not looking at prophecies recorded in the Bible, but I will be looking at prophecies given in our era of time. The point is, how do we look at such prophecies? That is the issue. Since the case we will consider in this regard relates to the things that the late Revelation Kenneth Hagin wrote in his book, titled, He Gave Gifts Unto Men. On pages 167 to 170, beginning from paragraph 3, he wrote, It is dangerous to intrude into another man's office. He said this because he really felt that William Branham was intruding into the ministry office of Elijah, which made him teach, and he was not happy with the teachings of William Branham. Reverend Hagin continued his testimony, declaring, And, really, the body of Christ has not had the respect and reverence for ministries, gifts, and manifestations of the Spirit we ought to have. See who is talking. We dealt with this issue and his utter hypocrisy in our last scribe, titled, A Rebuttal of the Prophecy of Kenneth Hagin, on the death of William Branham. Kenneth Hagin continued, saying in his book under reference, We treat the things of God too lightly. Then Brother Lindsay related something else to me that had happened regarding this same prophet. That is, regarding William Branham. He said to me, This past year, I was praying with my wife and Sister Schrader about the work of her ministry. Sister Schrader was a prophetess who has since gone on to be with the Lord. We were praying about different projects in our ministry. Right in the middle of the prayer, Sister Schrader blurted out, Go on, brother, and call this minister's name. He's going to die. Referring to William Branham, Brother Lindsay said, I was busy, and I let that get by me, and I didn't go warn him like I was supposed to. Then later, my wife and I and Sister Schrader were again praying about ministry projects. Again, Sister Schrader blurted out right in the middle of prayer, Go warn brother and call this minister's name. He's going to die. He's walking in the way of Dawi. again, referring to William Branham. Skipping down to the very end of page 168, Kenneth Hagin continued, stating, Brother Lindsay said, later the same year, my wife and I and Sister Schrader were praying again, and Sister Schrader suddenly blurted out about the same prophet, go one brother, and called this minister's name. He's walking in the way of Dowie. He's going to die. Go now. Still referring to William Branham, giving us the third prophetic message or utterance that Sister Schrader was reported to have given concerning Brother Branham. Gordon Lindsay's testimony continued. So I checked around and found out where he was holding a meeting, and found out that he would be there several days. I flew to the nearest city, rented a car, and drove to the town where he was preaching. After his morning meeting, Brother Lindsay said, I talked to him as the Lord had instructed me, but I saw that he wouldn't listen. And just why should Brother Branham bother himself with that prophecy, when he had not gone into idolatry, and neither had he claimed to occupy an office that God had not given him? Do you think I would bother myself with a prophecy warning me of death, for proclaiming that I am an apostle, a lead apostle, when that is precisely what God in His sovereign, elective love and mercy has made me? And I know precisely who I am in the ministry, within God's great plan of redemption, most unworthy as I am. Come on! So, in the day, Brother Branham did not bother himself with the prophecy of death and of the impersonation of Elijah's ministry, which Dowie was clearly guilty of impersonating. Gordon Lindsay then concluded, I said to myself, well, he'll just have to die. That's unfortunate, and it's not God's best. But it happens sometimes when people in the ministry won't judge themselves, and they aren't teachable. Now let us hold it right there for a while. Just look at this man, Gordon Lindsay. He is a man who does not know that our God, the creator and sustainer of the heavens and the earth, is one. He also does not know the correct formula, the true scriptural formula for water baptism, which was why he baptized in the mere titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, rather than in the redeeming name of Jesus Christ, a name that holds all three titles together, for they are all invested in that name. Furthermore, he is a man whose wife, Frieda Lindsay, was a woman preacher, and a man who would not be moved away from his erroneous and warped teachings, talking about someone else being unteachable. That is very perplexing. To think that both himself and Kenneth Hagin were totally warped in their understanding of the Godhead, for both of them were idolaters in this regard, serving three gods. Their false three gods doctrine, the so-called Holy Trinity doctrine, to apostate Christendom, a doctrine you cannot serve to a real Jew. They peddle this false and idolatrous doctrine of the Trinity, simply because they had no divine understanding of the incarnation that took place at the River Jordan, which is what allows us to worship Jesus Christ, and He is the only man we can worship, being God incarnate, as a worship is with strict reverence to God Almighty, the Father, who dwells in Him. The incarnation is also the basis upon which many references of God are also made to Jesus the Christ, who is the Son of God, including all the redemptive names or titles of God. For indeed, El Elyon, the Most High God, was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, thereby giving us Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. How? In and through His Son. Matthew 1 verse 23, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19 and Colossians verse 9. Therefore, despite the incarnation, all we have is still just one God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, who incarnated His Son, Jesus Christ, at the Jordan River, filling Him with the fullness of all His divine attributes, strictly for the purpose of redemption, and consequently, any other projection, such as three gods, is idolatry. Hence, it is immutably written, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, not two, and most certainly not three, but one Lord God. Prophet Isaiah sealed this absolute truth, giving us a second witness of the word, declaring in plain and categorical terms in the book of Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, where it records, Thus saith the Lord the King of Israel, and His Redeemer the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. In verse 8, the Spirit of God added, Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye children of Israel, are even my witnesses? Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Saints, please note that Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, Mark chapter 12, verse 29, Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5, 6, 14, 21 and 22, Psalm 86, verse 10, all confirm this infallible and unchangeable truth. For God cannot be one in the Old Testament and then suddenly become three in the New Testament, particularly when Jesus Christ himself openly confessed over and over again that he has a Father who is also his God. John chapter 20, verse 17. John chapter 14, verses 28 and 31. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Amongst many other scriptures, confirm this absolute divine fact. As I pointed out earlier, to also think that Gordon Lindsay's wife, Frieda Lindsay, was even a woman preacher, contrary to the clear, direct, and categorical provisions of the New Testament scriptures, laid out in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 to 38, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. We can all clearly see it is truly Gordon Lindsay and Kenneth Hagin that were the teachers, the true teachers, so to say, and not William Branham. Lord have mercy on these self-deceived men. May I add that it is because of this utterly baseless and nonsensical claim of Kenneth Hagin and Gordon Lindsay, alleging that William Branham impersonated the ministry of a teacher, that made preachers like Robert Sliadon, who wrote the book titled God's Generals, also teach that Brother Branham went into error, and also that he intruded into the teaching ministry, making out that Brother Branham ended his ministry as a failure, as they spoke with great authority about things they have not the slightest comprehension of. And to think that it is precisely because of William Branham's Bible restoring message, that humble man's Bible teachings, that I know my Bible today. My oh my, just think about that. What if the man really will be a teacher? What if? Moving down onto paragraph 6, on page 169, going on to page 170, here's another thing. There is a principle involved here. Be careful who you follow after spiritually. What did that prophecy mean? He's walking in the way of Dowie. Sister Schrader didn't even know what that meant. She didn't know Dowie. Come on! On what basis did Kenneth Hagin say this? What made him think that? Which Pentecostal person does not know John Alexander Dowie? When Sister Schrader was not a young person, and neither was she a newcomer to the Christian faith, how come she compared Brother Branham to Dowie, if she did not know John Dowie? Come on! Kenneth Hagin concluded, and please listen closely. This prophet, Branham, had proclaimed that he was Elijah that was to come, and that he was the messenger of the covenant. But Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. Dowie had proclaimed the same thing. I read one of Dowie's sermons in which he proclaimed, I'm Elijah number 3. This prophet, Branham, who died also said he was Elijah. That's what the Lord meant by, he's walking in the way of Dowie. What a prophecy so-called, this Anna Schrader purportedly received. But before I pass any comment on it, and X-ray the so-called prophecy in the light of the Holy Scriptures, as we are going to place it against another prophetic utterance which Anna Schrader had earlier given concerning the same William Branham. Let me first say three things, for I need to make three crucial points, before we go further. Firstly, please be informed that Sister Anna Schrader worked for Gordon Lindsay in his ministry in Dallas, Texas. Secondly, and this second point is related to the first point that I just shared, and it is a point I have stated in our message, titled, Dispensational Messengers, Lead Ministries, in defense of William Branham. That second point is this, there are some things I do not share or mention. When there is someone with the gift of prophecy around me, when I was in the organized religious world, before God pulled me out, into the end-time message to the William Branham, as Elijah to the Gentiles, bore, for the universal bride of Jesus Christ. Every time I shared intimate things with the so-called prophets and gifted people in the church organization, before you know it, that was precisely what they were used to prophesy to me in open church service. It was the same things they had unlearned from me in private that they used to prophesy. That was not a prophecy. That was prophetic fraud. When this happened a good number of times, I realized that I needed to keep my business to myself. And if they were really speaking by the inspiration of God, the all-knowing God, they will still be able to speak prophetically to my particular situation. But alas, they could not, because they were only plain smart, deceiving the people, using the information they had gathered on those same people to prophesy to them, which is nothing but prophetic fraud. When you share your intimate business, things that bother you, with a gifted person, it is very easy for the devil to also take advantage of that and move that person to prophesy in the flesh, based upon the information he has already received of things that have been shared, and with which he can be influenced. May I say, therefore, brothers and sisters, this, no doubt, was precisely the situation in which Sister Shredo must have found herself in relation to Gordon Lindsay. She must have been under the influence of a boss, listening over and over to him, venting out his grouse against Brother Branham, not only concerning his teachings, but in particular, concerning his claim to be Elijah. You will understand why I make this categorical claim shortly. But believe me, brothers and sisters, this is a familiar terrain to me. All by the grace of God, and the word of God will settle this issue, as we are on holy ground, which is Bible land. Thirdly, I need to make a very crucial, very important, and most pertinent point concerning the claim of the ministry office of Elijah that William Branham made, and it is this: you most certainly cannot judge a prophecy that relates to his Elijah ministry without first knowing the Bible base upon which this declaration stands. And whilst I will admit that Brother Branham did call himself the messenger of the covenant, nevertheless, this fact does not take away or deny the truth that he was indeed Elijah. The material fact we must take into consideration, being most crucial, is that his claim to be the messenger of the covenant was stated strictly in a loose or general application of the term. He did not apply this term solely to himself, as he also used the very same title or term to refer to John the Baptist, as well as for both Martin Luther and John Wesley, two men who bore the standard of the New Covenant message of Jesus Christ, being star messengers of Jesus Christ, in their respective church ages, that is, the 5th and 6th church age. Inarguably, Brother Branham knew undoubtedly that Jesus Christ is indeed the messenger of the covenant, a fact he clearly laid out in various sermons that he took, a fact which lets us know that his use of the title, the messenger of the covenant, was only typologically and loosely used. His use of this title was in no way used to deny Jesus Christ, who is truly and scripturally speaking, the messenger of the covenant. As children of light, we ought to see precisely where someone is coming from and what he means by what he's saying, without necessarily holding to the mere letter of his words, and we will see it if our hearts are right. Therefore, we must all see that the accusation which Kenneth Hagin and Gordon Lindsay leveled against Brother Branham, on account of his loose application of the title to himself, is most untenable, and hence, it is totally wrong to make the prophet to this age look like an antichrist, when most definitely, he was not an antichrist. However, I quite agree with them, for it is a fact that Brother Branham proclaimed he was Elijah, and I want you all to know that it was indeed a rightful claim. Listen to me, saints, for I must repeat the claim of William Branham as Elijah, prophet of Malachi chapter 4, verse 6b, was a true legitimate claim. It was a rightful claim. It is true that John Dower had also earlier claimed that he was this Elijah, that is, prior to the birth of Brother Branham, but that was an outright impersonation of the ministry of Elijah, for John Dower bore no Bible restoring message. Furthermore, quite unlike Brother Branham, John Dower actually claimed that he was indeed the messenger of the covenant, not in any loose or typological way, mark you, but in its main prophetic application. for it tied its prophetic application firmly to his own ministry, and it is antichrist to do so, because in its true and perfect application, Jesus Christ is the messenger of the covenant. Brothers and sisters, as a matter of fact, John Alexander Dowie boldly claimed to have, firstly, a threefold prophetic office as messenger of the covenant, secondly, the prophet foretold by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:18, who is also none other than the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, the prophet Lamb of God, and thirdly, and Elijah the Restorer, since the man, John Dowie, just saw every big ministry promise of God that was listed in the Holy Bible, and took them upon himself, without any regard for truth, or for the revealed plan of redemption, that made him a first-class impersonator, although I must also point out that he lived in an hour of unclear light, as it was at the end of the Reformation, a long era of time where every man did what was right in his own eyes. I say this knowing that the Pentecostal movement God ignited under William Seymour was still an extension of the Reformation moves of God, as the Lord slowly restored all that was lost since the early church fell. Nevertheless, please note that I have not said this to justify John Dowie's usurpation of the offices that belong to only our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as that is simply antichrist. But I said it only to help us remember that he lived in an hour of unclear light. Period. Moreover, his willful and reckless usurping of these ministry titles belonging exclusively to the Messiah was precisely why the end of John Dowie was sacked, because he crossed a line. However, just because John Dowie claimed that he was Elijah and ended up in disgrace does not make the claim of William Branham as Elijah false. It does not make him an impersonator. For someone had to be Elijah, just as someone also had to be the Messiah, even though Jesus Christ was rejected by the children of Israel and seen as an impostor, a false Messiah. Consequently, the fact that Brother Branham claimed to be Elijah is not idolatry, and neither is it blasphemy. Just because someone makes a big ministry claim does not make it a false claim. The fact that a man claims a big ministry does not necessarily make it a lie, particularly when it is a Bible-promised ministry. Therefore, you cannot in any way demonize him for making this claim without having the facts. All you need to do is to check if there is indeed a promise in the Holy Bible for such a ministry, study exactly what that ministry is expected to do, and when, and use a scriptural standard to judge the fruits of a man claiming to occupy that office. Simple. After all, Brother Branham did not claim to be Jesus Christ our Lord, the Messiah, and neither did he claim to be God, both claims which would have made him an antichrist and a blasphemer. He only claimed to be Elijah, a ministry which is clearly promised in the Holy Bible, although apostate Christendom is totally blind to this promise. This promised office of Elijah can only be occupied by a God-ordained vessel, a sinner saved by grace. Because all the Elijah we have in the Holy Bible were run by mere mortals, sinners saved by grace, right from the first one, Elijah the Tishbite, to John the Baptist, to the end-time Gentile Elijah, and even to the coming Jewish Elijah, who, along with prophet Moses, will bring revival to the nation of Israel in the 70th week of Daniel. As I said before, the material and fundamental issue in determining this matter is this: is there indeed a Bible promise of an Elijah to the Gentiles at this end time? And exactly what was he ordained to do? And furthermore, did William Branham fulfill this divine responsibility? These are the material issues, and not the fact that Brother Branham claimed a big ministry position, which is ordained for a particular sinner saved by grace to occupy, all under God. Church, on the full and unquestionable authority of the Holy Scriptures, I boldly declare categorically that there is such a promise of Elijah, recorded by Prophet Malachi, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6b, a truth we have brought out in our scribe, titled, The Dual Application of Malachi 4 verse 6b, Promise of Elijah. And in that scribe, brothers and sisters, the Spirit of the Lord helped us to give a total scriptural breakdown of this divine promise of Elijah, for whoever is interested in knowing the truth. Let me also add that this end-time Elijah is the man who also fulfilled the midnight cry of Matthew chapter 25, verse 6, as the two prophetic scriptures relate to the same junction of time and to the same ministry in this last age of Christendom. In addition, he was the star or angel messenger of Jesus Christ to this Laodicean church age, as revealed in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, taken together with Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. The easiest and simplest way of letting a new person see the truth of the angel to Laodicea is to say this: it is utterly impossible and absurd, ridiculous, senseless, for a spirit angel to come to Apostle John, a human being, on the Isle of Patmos in 96 AD, and ask him to write a prophetic message to another spirit angel if the angel of the church of the Laodiceans was not actually a human angel. For angel simply means messenger, and in this case, it was a human messenger of God, and not a spirit messenger, who also belonged to God and a spirit angels. Therefore, the word angel recorded in these passages of prophetic scripture, Revelation 3:14 and Revelation 10, verse 7, gives us a major human messenger of Jesus Christ to this last age, the star messenger, who is none other than the end-time Elijah, the prophet of God. If you still want to argue with me on this issue, then I will have to ask you, just how could John, a human being, write to a spirit angel? How and where would he give the spirit angel this prophetic letter? Can anyone even carry a physical written paper into the spirit realm? Come on! So, stop being ridiculous, quit your unbelief, and see something. Coming back to the main issue we are dealing with in this scribe, as we move on in our presentation of this message, do not forget, just as Kenneth Hagin wrote in his book under reference, that Brother Branham was accused of walking in the way of Dowie simply because he declared himself to be Elijah. Kenneth Hagin plainly stated, "I read one of Dowie's sermons in which he proclaimed, 'I'm Elijah number 3.' This prophet, Branham, who died, also said he was Elijah. That's what the Lord meant by his walking in the way of Dowie. And for this very reason, for making himself Elijah, and a Schrader prophet said to God in Lindsay that Brother Branham would die. However, brothers and sisters, because it is utterly impossible for me to present the promise of Elijah to you in this rebuttal, as the promise of Elijah is a whole message all on its own, and since the understanding of the scriptural promise of Elijah is most crucial to fully judging the prophecy of Sister Anna Schrader, therefore, I will simply say this to you: if you are truly interested in knowing the absolute Bible truth on this subject matter, we have various messages laying it out in much more scriptural detail in the Scribe magazine. The following titles are freely available on our website: The Dual Application of Malachi for Verse 6b, Promise of Elijah, The Prophetic Ministry of William Branham, Caught in the Laodicean Age, as well as our scribe titled Luke 17:30, amongst others. It is always good to find out the gospel truth about the scriptural promise of Elijah, because you can judge and condemn what you do not understand, and that will make you a big fool. For only a fool judges what he does not know, things he does not comprehend. Nevertheless, the measure in which we will judge the prophecy of Anna Schrader in this scribe is sufficient enough to prove that it is a scriptural nullity. Please let us return to the public claim William Branham made about being Elijah. On January the 17th, 1955, in his message, titled, How the Angel Came to Me and His Commission, Brother Branham openly testified, I was baptizing down on the river, my first converts at the Ohio River, and the 17th person I was baptized in, as I started to baptize him, I said, Father, as I baptize him with water, you baptize him with the Holy Spirit. I started to put him under the water. And just then a wall come from the heavens above, and here come that light, shining down. Hundreds and hundreds of people on the bank, right at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, in June. And it hung right over where I was at. A voice spoke from there, and said, As John the Baptist was sent for the forerunner of the first coming of Christ, you've got a have a message that will bring forth the forerunning of the second coming of Christ. And it like to scared me to death. Church, that was why, in 1961, In Questions and Answers, William Branham reiterated, "Don't you know what the very first thing he said down there on the river? Don't you remember what he said? As John the Baptist was sent forth to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message. It's the message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. That's what the angel of the Lord said. Now notice. Now, as John the Baptist. Now, all of you has heard that. You've read it in books, and heard people there standing there hearing it, and everything else. When that angel itself spoke that message, as John the Baptist was sent forth to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent with this message. Will forerun the second coming of Christ. Irrespective of the number of people who were there that day, and despite the fact that some people also argue that folks only saw the light, but heard nothing of the sort that Brother Branham claimed concerning him being Elijah, the undeniable and fundamental fact still remains that there was a supernatural occurrence on the Ohio River that day. A star suddenly descended from heaven, shining brilliantly, hanging right over them, as William Branham baptized, causing a great commotion, and a sound also came forth out of that light. A sound Brother Branham heard distinctly, for it was loud and clear to him. May I add that this incident is not different from what our Lord and Savior experienced, as recorded in the Gospel of St. John chapter 12, as Jesus pleaded with the Father, saying from verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again." Now watch verse 29. "The people therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered," as that was what they actually heard. It was how that voice sounded to them, for to them, it was a sound of thunder, and it was only because that voice was not meant for them. In total contrast, others said, "An angel spake to him," having a right perception of the sound that they heard, for the voice came on account of these revelated ones. Nevertheless, knowing that a supernatural manifestation had been observed by the people, and that God had truly spoken to him, and further, knowing that some caught the significance of the sound, look at what Jesus declared in verse 30. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." That was precisely what also took place in June 1933, on the Ohio River, when the angel of God spoke out to William Branham, a testimony which I believe with all my heart, because I can see the evident fruits of Brother Branham's ministry as Elijah, in perfect fulfillment of God's written word of promise for us Gentiles, living at this end of time. Moreover, many public prophetic witnesses were given concerning his ministry as Elijah, by total strangers, in a variety of meetings that Brother Branham took in his day, some of which we will consider in this scribe, quite apart from the astounding and most incisive prophetic insight into people's lives that Brother Branham bore, which stupefies the entire religious world to this very day. So, knowing with scriptural certainty that there is definitely a Bible promise of an end-time Elijah to the Gentiles, we will now come back to the prophecy of Sister Schrader, a sister who worked for God in Lindsay, as her prophecy is the main focus of this very scribe, the main focus of this rebuttal. As we consider the prophetic utterance Anna Schrader gave concerning William Branham, may I remind you, brothers and sisters, that we are now looking at instances where the same vessel gives two conflicting prophecies, though given on different occasions. While Anna Schrader, Gordon and Frieda Lindsay were praying about ministry projects between 1964 and 1965, Anna Schrader gave three prophetic messages to Gordon Lindsay about William Branham, declaring, "Go on, brother, and call this minister's name. He's walking in the way of Dawi. He's going to die. Go now." Let us now take up another prophecy that the same Sister Schrader had earlier given to William Branham, many years before January 1964. We will take this prophecy from the open testimony Brother Branham gave in a meeting he held on December 4, 1960, when he took a message titled, "The Revelation of Jesus Christ," paragraph 40, where he recounted, "Then I went up at the head of that hollow and sat down under a white oak tree, and waited about a half hour, and nothing happened. I lay myself on the ground, prostrated myself on the ground, laid my hands out. Then he spoke to me. And when he did, the words that he revealed to me on this very scripture that we're coming to this morning, I had never seen it before in all my life. And then when I got to Shreveport, Louisiana, a woman who is a gifted woman, not a prophetess, mark you, but a gifted woman, her name is Mrs. Schrader. Many years ago, when the angel of the Lord met me down here at the river, Ohio, the first time, which was in June 1933, and appeared in that light, and the words that he spoke there, 11 years later, which takes us to around 1944, about 20 years before 1964, when I walked into a meeting, this little woman rose and spoke in tongues and interpreted, for she was gifted with the spirit gift of both tongues and the interpretation of tongues, which he calls prophecy. Brother Branham added, it was word for word the same thing that angel said in 1933 on the Ohio River. And this same little woman, when I walked into the tabernaculate, or the place of Shreveport that we were in, the live tabernacle, the Holy Spirit moved on that woman and said word for word what he said to me up there on the hill. Then the Spirit began to move and give interpretation, foretelling things by the revelation, by prophecy, the things that would happen in the meeting the following night. And not one time did it fail. Again, on the 23rd of November 1962, in his message, titled, The Way Back, paragraph 114, talking about the same prophecy that Sister Schrader had given in Shreveport, Louisiana, prior to 1960, with Sister Schrader present in that very meeting, Brother Branham now said to her, person to person, Mrs. Schrader, I got your note. I know Sister Schrader. You asked me about the tape. I haven't been home yet to hear it. I'll get it when I get home. Sister Schrader, you're a good woman. I love you, my sister. You was the one, me not knowing you, when I walked in and someone spoke in tongues, and you gave the interpretation, and said the very same thing that it let did, when it come down over me down there, when I first was a Baptist preacher, said, as John the Baptist was sent forth to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent forth, and your message will forerun the second coming. Now, listen very carefully, saints of God. This very prophecy given around 1944, which clearly sets forth the forerunning message William Branham bore by the Spirit of Christ, is in direct and total opposition to the one she later gave privately to Gordon Lindsay and his wife, Frieda Lindsay, on three different occasions between 1964 and 1965 in Dallas, Texas, as relayed in the book of Kenneth Hagin under reference. Prophetic utterances we have also brought out in this tribe. Let me declare, therefore, that the subsequent negative prophecy Anna Schrader gave about Brother Branham, a contrary prophecy stating that William Branham is going to die. He is walking in the way of Dowie, after she had first given an extremely plain and positive prophecy about the same Brother Branham, assent to the message that will forerun Jesus Christ's second advent, is totally meaningless to me, for some things just do not add up. We must not forget, and it is very interesting to remember, that Anna Schrader, who also got acquainted with Brother Branham, actually worked for Gordon Lindsay at the material time in Dallas, Texas, and as such, you must see the great influence this relationship must have had on Anna Schrader. More importantly, let us even ask, does this negative prophecy take away the truth of the Holy Scriptures that Brother Branham bore, or does it nullify his Bible-restoring message? Absolutely not. Furthermore, does this negative prophecy actually prove that Brother Branham walked in the way of John Dowie? It most certainly does not. Therefore, may I say this, unless you can come by the Holy Scriptures, to show me how and where William Branham had, and just how he walked in the way of Dowie, I care less for what any prophecy says, and who says what, because my soul cannot be established by any prophetic utterance, but exclusively by truth, the truth of the Word of God. Period. Let me also ask, exactly what was the problem in the ministry of Gordon Lindsay that they were praying consistently about, that led to the three prophetic outbursts of Sister Schrader? I ask this question, because as I have stated earlier, I am aware that brethren who have prophetic gifts can be led or be influenced to prophesy in the flesh if certain things are discussed in their presence. I know this for a fact, which is why there are certain things I will not share or talk about. In the presence of a brother or a sister who has the gift of prophecy, laying this point aside, the material, undeniable, and most fundamental fact remains this. Brothers and sisters, the same Anna Schrader, much earlier, around 1944, had been used publicly by the Spirit of God to give a prophetic utterance, firmly, plainly, and categorically vindicating William Branham's ministry as Elijah, the man carrying the message that will forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now think seriously about that. For it is infallibly written in the Word of God, a fountain does not bring forth at the same place sweet and bitter water, and neither can a fig tree produce olive berries. James 3 verses 11 to 12. It is also written in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. It has to be yea and amen. Because the word of Almighty God, Jehovah God, the Eternal Spirit, who is perfect in all his ways, is both infallible and immutable, unchangeable. God does not contradict himself like men do, nor does he defeat his divine purpose, because he is omniscient, omnipotent, and sovereign. Brothers and sisters, you have to agree with me that something is seriously wrong, scripturally wrong, with the testimony of these people. And that is precisely why, church, I go strictly by the revelation of the inspired written word of God, and not by any man's prophecy, or testimony, or dream, or vision, regardless of who he is. And unless you do the same, the devil will get you, because he has a lot of things he can use to derail you from the way of life, unless you stay with the word of God. That is your only refuge, and your only lifeline. So, stay with the Holy Bible. Now listen to me, saints of God, for I must reiterate, something is not right with the testimony of these three people, Gordon Lindsay, Kenneth Hagin, and Anna Schrader. This is particularly as we all know, or should know, scripturally, that God is not the author of confusion, only the devil is. So, just how can the Spirit of Jehovah God later use the very same vessel to condemn Brother Branham for the very ministry position that was spoken positively of long before 1960. Brothers and sisters, you must see with crystal clarity that the three negative prophecies Hannah Schrader gave to both Mr. and Mrs. Lindsay between 1964 and 1965 are in direct contradiction to the positive prophecy that she had given much earlier in open service, many years before 1960, in Shreveport, Louisiana, concerning the forerunning ministry of the same William Branham, whose ministry she equated prophetically to being just like that of John the Baptist. So, just how can God, the holy and invisible Spirit, Jehovah God, who is perfect, infallible, inerrable, and unchanging in all his ways, and in all his revelations, now condemn William Branham for claiming the ministry position of Elijah that he, God, had given him, which ministry position he, God, had much earlier confirmed in prophecy through the same Anna Schrader? Come on! Now, something is seriously wrong, and I will tell you precisely what is wrong, as we are not here to play games, for this is most certainly not a game. We all know, scripturally speaking, just as I have been emphasizing, that only an Elijah can wear the shoes of John the Baptist, and only an Elijah can carry the message that will forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ, as that was the spirit and power by which John the Baptist forerun Christ's first advent. It was the precise anointing that John the Baptist bore, the spirit that empowered him to forerun the first coming of Jesus Christ the Messiah. And I say this on the full and unquestionable authority of Luke chapter 1, verse 17. May I remind you that this truth is precisely what the holy angel of God spoke about to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and as such, you cannot question or deny it except you are reprobate minded. For it is expressly written in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, and he, John the Baptist, shall go before him, who is the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the spirit and power of Elias, which is the Greek word for Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready people prepared for the Lord. Since, speaking with respect to this spirit of Elijah, which is the anointing of John the Baptist, many years prior to 1960, in Shreveport, Louisiana, in giving a prophetic interpretation of the tongue she spoke, Sister Schrader declared categorically by the Holy Ghost to William Branham, as John the Baptist was sent forth to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent forth, and your message will forerun the second coming. Then many years thereafter, in private prayer sessions with Gordon and Frieda Lindsay, the same vessel, the same Anna Schrader, now prophesied thrice, declaring, go one brother and call this minister's name. He's walking in the way of Dowie. He's going to die, simply because he claimed to be Elijah. Brothers and sisters, if you cannot see that this prophecy seriously knocks against the earlier prophecy that the Holy Ghost had given through her, that it contradicts the earlier prophecy she had given to William Branham, I cannot help you. I cannot help your spiritual blindness. For here, we have two opposing prophecies about the same brother Branham, given by the same vessel of clay. Therefore, we should all be able to plainly see that this latter prophecy is most certainly not of God and cannot have been of God, and hence, it is absolutely false. For it not only contradicted her first public prophetic utterance, where she stated categorically and specifically that William Branham bore a message from God that would forerun the second advent of Jesus Christ, but it was also a later state in prophecy that William Branham was walking in the way of Dowie, for declaring to be Elijah, when he was indeed Elijah. That is the first point of note, the first proof that the prophecy of Anna Schrader was absolutely false, which is precisely why it outrightly contradicted and nullified her earlier prophecy. Moreover, and this is the second point, Brother Branham's Elijah ministry is thoroughly vindicated by the Holy Scripture and by the incredible measure of the open miraculous which accompanied his ministry, and further, it was vindicated by the outstanding and faultless prophetic insights he bore into people's lives, coupled with the Bible-restoring message that he bore, and by which we were called out from Babylon, the world of organized religion. Period. That is the second point, the second proof that the negative prophecy of Anna Schrader was absolutely false, because the evident fruits of Brother Branham's ministry clearly proves that Anna Schrader was prophesying in the flesh, in the office of Gordon Lindsay. The third scriptural proof of the falseness of that prophecy is this, and this point settles this issue once and for all, for it is indeed the clincher. In the New Testament dispensation, and in the light of the inspired writings of the early church apostles, sisters can only possess the gift of prophecy. They cannot hold or occupy the office of a prophet within the Ephesians 5 ministry, because the Ephesians 5 ministry is the head of the universal body of Christ. Hence, beginning right from the day of Pentecost when the early church was born, we have no prophetesses in the entire grace age under the New Testament, except only sisters with the gift of prophecy, or sisters with the gift of tongues and interpretation, which he calls prophecy. I must point out, however, that whilst a person having a mere gift of prophecy is operating under the prophetic anointing, he or she is referred to as a prophet, even as 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32, provides, and the spirits of the prophets, meaning the prophetic anointing by which men and women prophesy, are subject to the prophets, meaning they are subject to the prophecy as themselves, so they can judge that spirit. Let me reiterate this unchangeable truth. Under the New Testament, sisters can only possess the gift of prophecy. They cannot hold or occupy the office of a prophet. Consequently, it is only prophets who can give forth a previously held prophetic revelation, a prior prophetic insight, a prophetic message they received earlier on from God, and hence, they can later say, go on, Brother X. In total contrast, sisters can only profess I, just as the four daughters of Philip the Evangelist did, as confirmed in Acts chapter 21, verses 8 to 9, and that is even spontaneous, for it is right under the anointing. Consequently, it is absolutely impossible for Sister Schrader, or any other sister for that matter, operating by mere gift of prophecy, to prophesy spontaneously, instantaneously, which is under the anointing, and say, "Go on, brother, Branham." And why can she not say so, you may well ask? It is because the Spirit of God can never call any man brother, for God is not a brother, and he cannot ever be a brother, and neither can God call anyone sister, because a brother or a sister is an offspring, and God is no one's offspring. God is a creator, the creator of all living things. Make no mistake about it, saints of God. There is no one speaking by the Spirit of God, speaking under the anointing, that can call anyone brother. On the other hand, a prophet, having previously been dealt with by God in a vision, or in a trance, or in a dream, or by audible voice, can say to a second person, "Go tell Brother Branham this and that." For that is what I have been shown by God, merely sending that person to carry the message he had been shown, a divine message that he had received earlier on. In total contrast, sisters cannot do that, for they are not prophets, although they can have and express the gift of prophecy, which is why their prophecy is spontaneous, instantaneous, just as it happened in the office of God in Linton on the three occasions under reference. For the three prophetic utterances came unexpectedly and spontaneously as they were praying about the ministry projects of God in Linton. They were all given suddenly, at the spur of the moment, under the anointing, so to say, as Anna Schrader purportedly declared by the Holy Spirit, "Go on, brother, Branham." Brothers and sisters, you must realize that the Spirit of God, sovereignly, spontaneously, and directly, using the lips of a mortal, cannot utter this statement, simply because God cannot call anyone brother. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, you will not find any place where the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty has made such a prophetic pronouncement. Full stop. Brothers and sisters, just as I have pointed out earlier, you must understand the facts of what must have taken place right here. And it is basically this: God and Lindsay must have voiced out very negative things about Brother Branham's teachings, as well as his Elijah declaration, over and over in the presence of Mrs. Schrader, who was his worker, and with whom he also often prayed, and this negativity must have greatly impressed upon the heart of Anna Schrader, seriously influencing her. That was precisely why she was suddenly moved to give the prophecies she gave, but they were all fleshly prophecies. The prophecies were all carnal. This action offends the Holy Scriptures, because it is something the Spirit of God will never utter, and is also the reason it contradicted Anna Schrader's earlier prophecy to Brother Branham, relating to the same ministry office. Church, I have seen this happen countless times. It is why I consciously do not share my personal business around gifted persons. Since, you must see without any iota of doubt that it was not God who inspired Anna Schrader to give those prophecies to Gordon Lindsay, and I say this, knowing that prophecy is scripturally censorable, and that by the grace of God, we have rightly censored it. Any prophecy, and every prophecy, is subject to censorship by the word of God. That is what we are honestly admonished to do in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 to 22, where Apostle Paul seriously implored, "Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." What is more, there is absolutely nothing that the promised Elijah was ordained to do in the Holy Bible that William Branham did not fulfill. Moreover, we must question the motives of both Gordon Lindsay and Kenneth Hagin, and ask, why do they all admit that Brother Branham was the leading prophet, and even admit that he carried an outstanding prophetic unction, an outstanding prophetic insight, unparalleled in the entire grace age, outside of the prophetic ministry of Jesus Christ, knowing absolute details, intimate details of the lives of people, knowing their secret conditions, their names, their telephone numbers, their addresses, where they came from, and knowing the problems that they had, without having to be told or informed if he was not carrying that old anointing of Elijah. Come on! Some things just do not make sense. In his book on the prophet to this age, titled William Branham, A Man Sent from God, Gordon Lindsay gave this unsolicited testimony. In the world in which he, William Branham, truly lives, his spiritual senses have been quickened to a point that has enabled him to move farther out into God and has caused him to be more conscious of heavenly realities than perhaps any man now living. So, just how could William Branham now be accused by the God who anointed him as Elijah, the God who invested the great magnitude of prophetic anointing on him, of walking in the way of Yahweh? Someone has to wake up from this utter deception. Saints of God, I declare to you in clear and absolute terms, this prophetic utterance was spoken by a lying spirit. It is true, Brother Branham died, just as the prophecy also stated in past. But we all know as children of light that God used it to give Gordon Lindsay and Kenneth Hagin the idols in their heart. And this is even apart from the absolute fact that half-truth is a lie, a solid lie. That was undoubtedly the spirit of deception at work. The Holy Bible declares plainly and categorically in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This then is a message which we have heard of him, who is Jesus Christ the Son of God, and declare unto you that God is light." God is absolute truth, perfect truth, complete truth, wholesome truth, and in him is no darkness at all. In God there is no untruth, no falsehood, no lie at all, not in any measure. Now factor that. I repeat, the prophecies given to Gordon Lindsay and his wife were completely false. Common sense will even tell you that God does not and cannot contradict himself, and neither does he defeat his word or counsel, nor does he change, because he is the Lord God Almighty. Moreover, God is not the author of confusion, and neither does he confuse his children, as he is not a revelatory confusionist. The bottom line, Church of the Living God, is that the revelation of God is one, for God is absolutely consistent, being perfect in all his revelations. It is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by men Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Period. The word of the Lord is not yea and nay. That is why we are asked a very serious and pertinent question in the book of James chapter 3, verse 11. "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" Of course not. This will lead me to ask again, exactly what do people take the Spirit of God for? Oh my! Saints of God, you must all know without a shadow of doubt that whilst the first prophetic utterance Anna Schrader gave in public concerning Brother Branham's ministry was true, in total contrast, the three prophecies she later gave privately to Gordon and Frieda Lindsay concerning the same Brother Branham were false. For it was most certainly not the Holy Spirit who inspired her to give those prophecies. Undoubtedly, she was under the influence of a contrary spirit in these latter instances, or because she allowed the sentiments of a boss to hold sway in her heart, thereby allowing the devil to have an inroad into a prophetic gift, taking advantage. For we must know that as God wants to use a gift, the devil also wants to use the same gift, and hence, we are under a divine obligation to be very careful, judging and weighing all things by the Holy Scriptures, and not by the sentiments of anyone. This is the very reason it is written, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. Because the prophesier is expected to judge that anointing, that prophetic spirit. May I also add that the fact that the prophetic utterances were given on three different occasions to Gordon Lindsay, thereby giving him all three prophetic witnesses, does not make these prophetic witnesses true. In the case of Prophet Micah, he stood against 400 prophetic witnesses, whose prophetic witnesses were the same, for they all spoke as one, yet all 400 of them spoke by a false spirit, and they all prophesied a lie. think about it. 1 Kings 22. We just have to know the plain truth. Falsehood can also be spoken with very urgent and consistent earnestness, and this fact does not make it the truth. The bottom line is, God Almighty does not contradict Himself, and neither does He defeat His purpose, nor can He condemn a man for proclaiming a ministry position that He, God, has given him. Full stop. You would have to willfully deny the application of the infallible promise of God recorded in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6b, concerning the end-time Elijah and what he was ordained to do for the end-time bride of Christ in bringing her back to the original apostolic faith of the Holy Bible. To make William Branham's claim was Elijah a false claim, just as John Alexander Dowie did. And if you still think that William Branham was not Elijah, then I challenge you once again, and it is only a fair challenge. You will have to avail yourself and read a scribe that lays out in absolute detail this crucial prophetic Bible subject, titled The Dual Application of Malachi 4 verse 6b, Promise of Elijah, as well as a scribe series titled God Sent Vessels of Truth, Vessels of Clay in Defense of William Branham, in opposition to BelieveTheSign.com. You must all see that the prophecies Anna Schrader gave to Godwin and Frieda Lindsay about Brother Branham are a totally nullity, having no basis in Scripture. And in reality, regardless of the fact that William Branham died shortly thereafter, because God gave Godwin Lindsay and Kenneth Hagin the idols in their heart. For of a truth, William Branham was the end-time Elijah, and what a wonderful work he did for the Universal Bride of Christ, not only in bringing her out of the entire world of organized religion, Babylon, but also in restoring her to the original apostolic foundation, which the early church was firmly established upon. This is the foundation of revealed faith, which alone can and will reproduce the original seed word bride, here at this end time of harvest, as it is what gives us the original Bible faith of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I make this bold public declaration because I am a beneficiary of His Elijah ministry, and because I cannot be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ and of His servant, William Marion Branham, the Elijah's a messenger to this last age of Christendom. For as our Lord warned in Mark chapter 4, verse 9, I also warn, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord bless you.